So let's pray first, and then we'll go to 1 Chronicles. Father in heaven, I want to thank you again for your wonderful love. Father, for the opportunity you give us each and every day, if we have our eyes wide open and we're prayed up, that you just miraculously lead people into our lives. We ask and pray that we would not squander those opportunities to speak to them about the Lord. Thank you again for your word. Help us to live your word. Help us to be about your business. And if there be one amongst us this morning that knows not you as their Lord and Savior, I pray today would be the day of their salvation. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. Turn to 1 Chronicles chapter number 22, if you would please. You know, one thing I think we've noticed and we've learned that many times when we're talking about giants in our lives, it's, we think about David and Goliath, and that's a good way to deal with that, but there are many other giants that come our way. A lot of Christians have the giant of fear. They don't know what to say to other people. But we must dare to show the way in our lives, the light of Jesus Christ unto a lost and a dying world. 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verses 15 through 16. You listen, please, as I read. And David said, Solomon, my son, is young and tender, and the house that is to be builded for the Lord must be exceedingly magnificent. I probably pronounced that word wrong, but I'm sorry. Of fame and of glory throughout all countries. I will therefore now make preparation for it. So David prepared abundantly before his death. Then he called for Solomon his son and charged him to build a house for the Lord God of Israel. And David said to Solomon, my son, as for me, it was in my mind to build a house unto the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me, saying, thou hast shed blood abundantly and hast made great wars. Thou shalt not build a house unto my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. Behold, a son shall be born to thee, who shall be a man of rest, and I will give him rest from all his enemies round about, for his name shall be Solomon, and I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days. He shall build a house for my name, and he shall be my son, and I will be his father, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. Now, my son, the Lord be with thee, and prosper thou, and build the house of the Lord thy God as he hath said of thee. Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding, and give thee charge concerning Israel, that thou mayest keep the law of the Lord thy God. Then shalt thou prosper, if thou takest heed to fulfill the statutes and judgments which the Lord charged Moses with concerning Israel. Be strong and of good courage. Dread not, nor be dismayed. For behold, in my trouble I have prepared for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold, and 100,000 talents of silver, of brass and an iron without weight. For it is in abundance. Timber also and stone have I prepared, that thou mayest addeth thereunto. Moreover, there are workmen with thee in abundance, hewers and workers of stone and timber, and all manner of cunning men of every manner of work. For the gold and the silver and the brass and the iron, there is no number. Arise therefore and be doing, for the Lord be with thee. Somebody might have said, well, if David can't build, who's going to build it? Now, God always will provide. You say, well, if God's going to provide, why do I have to do anything for the Lord? The Lord doesn't need me. Well, basically, he might not, but he wants you. From a human standpoint, there are people, again, I've said this before, that you can reach that none other can reach. You have a way maybe with your speech or your lifestyle that you can coexist with some of these people. There are some people that I have a hard time to tolerate, but other people may find that, you know, it's okay. It's just the way things mix. But don't give up on the Lord. Don't ever say, well, yeah, Lord, you saved me, and I'm going to go to heaven, and I'm happy with that. That's being kind of prideful if you think about it. You're just going to keep what the Lord has given you, and you're not going to share it with others. Think of that person that came to you, whether it be a teacher, whether it be a co-worker, whether it be preaching, and brought forth the word, and you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Aren't you thankful that that person was not prideful on that day and said, there's no reason for me to preach the word today, or to speak to that person in the grocery store or at the gas station or wherever it may be? The Lord saves us to serve. The serving is in totally different capacities. So you got to dare to show the way for others. Well, I live a Christian life every day, but then you're only seeing the people that you work with every day. Maybe the Lord wants you to reach out, spread out. You know, one of David's greatest virtues was he was willing to ensure that his work and ministry did not end with his death. You should be the same way. We are all ministers in one way, shape, or form. If you have a Bible study in your house with two or three women, and you may be approaching the age where the Lord may take you home, do you have plan B in place? Or is it just going to fall apart and maybe they'll get together? You say, well, that's just a simple thing, right? It is. It's not like running a church or running a big business, but it's your ministry to have times of devotion and Bible study and reading with this group of women. Who takes your place? When we as Sunday school teachers go on vacation, can you imagine if there was no one to take our place? Or you scramble around and heaven forbid it has not happened. I probably shouldn't bring it up, but maybe there's an accident on the way to church in the morning. Those things can happen. Who's taking your place? That's why we have substitutes upon substitutes. There was a time in America it seemed like that the people in the church just came to church and they thought it was the pastor's responsibility to reach the lost, visit those that are in the hospital, and do all the work while they just accepted and jumped on his wings and got all the accolades for it. David took time and effort to equip and prepare his son Solomon for his reign. Now we know Absalom wanted to become king, but that wasn't God's choice. It was Solomon. And in the end, it's Solomon who becomes king. Just like in the end of this whole life that's going on now, it all turns out very good for us. But can you think of someone that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and that person is very special to you, very dear to you? You can have workers that are that way. We all have relatives that are that way. Well, I've tried for years to reach them for Jesus. Have you really tried? And they told me no. Under no circumstances at all would they ever darken the doors of the church. If I were to darken the doors of the church, God would strike that church with lightning from heaven and you'd all die. I have a brother who I've told you before says that he's Satan. He's not Satan. But things have happened in his life that he's not too proud of. And then when I started telling him, and I never did this, but I started telling him the way his older brother was, he was amazed. And I said, if God can save me from that, he can take you and save you also. You know, if you're sitting here in this room today and you say, oh, you have no clue, Mr. Nelligan, exactly what my life is about, I don't need to. I'm nobody. You know, I'm someone the Lord uses maybe once a month to teach Sunday school, and I go out a couple times a week and help Pastor Seth, and I try to speak to people all the time. But in God's eyes, you know, anybody can do it. I do. God is the one. But David, from a manly standpoint, wanted to make sure that he was prepared and that his ministry was prepared down the road. You know, you hear sometimes of these buses full of people going to Christian conventions that suddenly a tire blows out or whatever when they're going, whatever speed they're going down the road, and many casualties on the bus. What happens then? Do they fold it up? Or do they get together and find someone? So as we look at our sheets today, number one, David saw the goal. David did not live a life that most people would say was accepted. He wasn't proud of a lot of things he did. We've talked about almost everything that happened with him and how those consequences now have followed him throughout his whole life, even down to the point of his son Absalom taking over his kingdom last week. See, you may do something wrong, and you may ask the Lord to forgive you for what you've done wrong, and he will, but there's a thing called consequences. And we have to pay for them. Often people are not interested in expanding a lot of effort for which others will get the credit. You ever see that? Happens sometimes with professional athletes a little bit. They have too much of an eye problem. It's I. And then they might stick in, well, thank the Lord for letting me do this. What about giving credit to coaches, to fellow players, fellow teammates that help them get better? Just as we as Christians, when maybe you lead somebody to the Lord for the first time, if you say, I led this person to the Lord. No, you were the instrument that the Lord used. But what about if you grew up in the church? What about what your youth director years ago taught you? Sunday school teachers, preachers have taught you. How the Word of God has taught you. It's not you. It's not us. Are you interested? Or is this just something that's Sunday morning? This is what I do between bing and bing. And what do you do after the second bing? Well, I do this until, and maybe I'll come back tonight. Success in any worthwhile endeavor for God, which, by the way, every endeavor for God is worthwhile. Because if one soul comes to know Jesus Christ in whatever it is, Daily Vacation Bible School, revivals, out soul winning, or one soul comes back from a life that they turned from God for some reason, some circumstance happened in their life, and they blame God for it. It's never accidental success. Rather, it is a result of thoughtful goal setting and purposeful execution of the steps toward that goal, along with total reliance on God. Pastor Seth and I, we talk a lot when we go out on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And I was talking to him about, what about the person that gets saved in church, gets on their hands and knees and prays, that, Lord, I'll give you 6 services to show me what it is that you want me to do with my life. Now, God doesn't answer back this way, but what if God were to answer you? You're giving me 6 services and you've totally ruined your life for 40 years? Is that fair? God's still working on me. You know? Anybody here God stopped working on? Anybody? Anybody in this room perfect? If you are, thank you for coming and joining us today. But what did Paul say? I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in God in Christ Jesus. Number 8 says, it was for the glory of God. David saw the goal. And the reason for the goal was for the glory of God. First Chronicles 17, verses 16 and 20 say, who am I, O Lord? And what is mine house that thou hast brought me hither through? O Lord, there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. Folks, please stop looking at sometimes the circumstances that we are in, because others are also looking at your circumstances and want to see how much your God, who you profess to be saved, is going to help you through these circumstances. Don't show bitterness. Don't show agony. Will you have those things? Yeah, pray about them. Keep them inside your closet. Keep them inside you. Oh, that's very hard to do. I understand that. You know, as growing up as a Scotch Irishman, we were all told, just tell it like it is. Whatever's on your mind, just let it out. Let the cookies fall where they fall, and somebody else will pick them up for you. But no, we all struggle. We all struggle with something. You know, somebody says, well, Satan knows which button to push in your life. Yeah, so then why do we keep bringing the button up so Satan can push it? You ever think about that? Get so close to Jesus that you're willing to share his way with others. And you get so involved with that that you eventually forget what that button is, or the Lord removes that button from you. Then you don't have to worry about Satan pushing that button anymore. But if you try to walk, like I said, down the middle of the road, you will get hit one side or the other. If you don't do things good for the Lord or right for the Lord, maybe he takes you home. Maybe. Or you fall the other way and you fall into sin and you seem to never be able to get back. There is nothing worse than a Christian that falls from grace. I was taught this in the 70s. As a Christian, if we do something wrong, you may find yourself sinning worse than you ever did before you asked Jesus Christ to come into your life. Don't think that Satan is this guy that runs around with a long red tail and a pitchfork. He's not like that. He's subtle. He could come through the influence of the person sitting right next to you. But he's going to come. You know, David fully realized that God deserves all the glory. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul felt the same way. Galatians 6:14 says, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." We realize the story of Paul. You want to talk about a miraculous change. Paul went from killing Christians to getting people to become Christians. And he thought he was doing God's work in the first part. He wasn't. And yeah, remember how some of the people were kind of like, "Eh, are you sure you want this guy to help us?" What if everybody would say, "I'm not sure. Are you sure we really want to do this?" But no, a fellow Christian stood out after the Lord came to them and spoke to them. Has he come to you and spoke to you about that person that nobody else seems to want to talk to? I told you the story about Isabella last week, how she seems to pick out the girl that gets bullied in school or bullied on the playing ball or whatever. That's just something she does. And I've never said a word to her about it. I just watch as she does it. There's a movie that I watched yesterday. Maybe some of you have watched it before. It's called Playing the Flute. It's a Christian movie. No, the scripture they quote is not the King James, but if you get a chance, I can't even remember what streaming thing we were on. It's called Play the Flute. And I'm not a person that watches the movie twice. I am not. Trust me. No. Because I remember it. But this one I sat down when I came in from outside and Mrs. Nelligan had it on and I sat there and I watched it again. And how the Lord took a bunch of teenagers who the minister came in and just put three verses in front of them, wanted them to quote them. And they all quoted them, but there was that one girl who stuttered. And to go any further in the story, she could quote them easily. But then everybody figured out why they were doing what they were doing and let the Spirit lead them. You get a chance. Just watch that movie. So David saw the goal. The goal was for the glory of God. What we do in our lives should be and only be for the glory of God. It was good for others. 1 Chronicles chapter 17, if you'd like to turn there. And I'll read verses 21 through 24. It is in your lesson pad if you want to just look at it there. That's fine too. And what one nation in the earth is like thy people Israel, who God went to redeem to be his own people, to make thee a name of greatness and terribleness by driving out nations from before thy people, whom thou hast redeemed out of Egypt. I'll stop there for a second. If you haven't read your Bible and seen that miracle, and yeah, he had to kill off a whole generation to take the younger ones in, and what did the younger ones do? The same thing the older generation did. See, there's a pattern. What do? Do you follow Jesus every day of your life? Do you? Really? Wouldn't have any issues if we did, probably. I mean, things come into our lives to make us stronger. You know, that person may come into your life that really rubs you the wrong way. You know what I mean? Takes you like a Barbarossa with a scrub brush. And just gets in there and just really gets at you. What do you do with them? Do you ignore them, stay away from them? Or do you prove that Jesus Christ is stronger than Satan? You just keep going. You just keep talking to that person. No matter what they say to you. I mean, but if it gets to the point, don't have that to be your only mission. Reach out and get others too. Because that person that's rubbing you the wrong way, do you want to see him on Judgment Day? Look you in the eye and say, why did you stop? We'll continue with verse 23. Therefore now, Lord, let the thing that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house be established forever, and do as thou hast said. Are you willing to say that? Oh, this is the Old Testament, Mr. Nelligan. That's not the New Testament. It's God's word, folks. Let it even be established that thy name may be magnified forever, saying, the Lord of hosts, he is the God of Israel, even a God to Israel, and let the house of David, thy servant, be established before thee. David knew that the people of Israel were the people of God. As David lived to glorify God and desired to build him a house out of gratitude, God had pledged to build David a house as well. Not a house of stone and mortar, but a reign that should last forever. But David did all these things wrong. Yep, not perfect. Yep, saw something he shouldn't have seen. Yep, did something really bad after that too. Had a man killed. Yep. Can you take one sin and take it 3, 4, 5 times down the road and it leads right back to that one sin? Maybe not as drastic as this, but can you? Righteousness exalted a nation, Proverbs 14:34, but sin is a reproach to any people. When God's people, when we as Christians make it our chief object in life to glorify him, God lifts them up as well. What's the first thing you do in the morning? I fall out of bed. Now, once you get yourself, you know what's going on, you can see, maybe you reach for your glasses. Do you thank the Lord for the night before, the day before? He's the one that gave you the rest. Or do you get up at 7:30 and you got to be someplace by 8 and psh, off you go. No Lord in the morning, then it's noontime. No Lord in the noontime, then it's the afternoon, and then it's 24 hours, and you didn't spend any time with God, but he kept you safe all day long. Can't get that day back. Can't get it back. David had a goal. It's good. It was for the good of others. Others. Do you do things for the Lord because of you? Because someday he's going to pat you on the back and say, yeah, you did it for me. Or do you do it for others who maybe won't get a chance to have God pat them on the back? By preparing for the temple, David led his nation to serve God. While he wished to give God glory overall, he also desired that his people loved and served God as well. David struggled. You and I struggle. The closest person in the world to the Lord struggle. When I was in South Carolina visiting my son David a few weeks ago, I ran into a man by the name of John Jacoby. John Jacoby works with David at the landfill. David told me, "Dad, you're going to meet John. Do not let first impressions work here. He's tattooed from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. He served in the United States Army. He was a Ranger. He works with David, and he basically has kept David from doing or saying," that's Scott Jefferson and David too, "a lot of dumb things." So we get on the boat to go out on Murray Lake one morning, and beautiful morning, and we're sitting there in the back of the boat, and he looked at me and he says, "Mr. Nelligan, how's your walk with the Lord?" First time ever. First time ever in my life since the day I was saved did somebody ask me how my walk with God was. "What did you do for devotions this morning, Mr. Nelligan?" This guy doesn't know me from Adam. And as we're going around the lake, he's showing the inlets and outlets. He goes, "That'd be a great place to get up in the morning and to go out and spend time with God, wouldn't it be?" And again, I'm amazed at this young man. First looks, you'd have said, "No way." But we all know how much it costs and how much it would hurt to have those tattoos removed. Here's a man that loves God. He's in the Word. First time ever. Like I said, I was saved in 1974. First time ever. You know, I've had different types of questions asked around, but the first time ever anybody asked me how my walk was with God. And he asked it so profoundly, I told him the truth. It could be better. If we're really honest, couldn't it really be better? "Oh, no, my walk's perfect." Stop lying. Please. You're not going to be able to lie to God. Our walk can always be better. There's always something more that we can do. Always something more. Stay out of places that'll get you to argue. Get off social media if you don't know how to deal with it. Lots of times people get on social media because they just like to argue. Forget that. You're going to get you nowhere. Just going to get you a headache. The day's going to go bye-bye, and nothing is accomplished for God at all. But dare you, I dare you to show during that time. Work with a friend who's struggling. Pray for a Christian friend who really needs it. There is somebody we can think of 24 hours a day that really needs a prayer right about now. Like Pastor said the other day, why does God put somebody's name in your head all of a sudden as you're driving down the road? I don't know, but I don't ignore it. I start thinking about that person, maybe praying about that person. Eyes wide open, by the way. I don't know. I haven't thought about that person in months. Why now? I don't know. I do not know. But then you pray for that person, and maybe 2 weeks later, you see that person, you say, "Man, I was going through this real difficult time." And the Lord all of a sudden just turned the light on and it was gone. And then you kind of get into when it was. It happens to be around the same time. I don't like using stories of my kids, but those are the ones I see the most. But when David was in Iraq, some of you moms know this, he talked to mom and he said, "Mom, we're going someplace tonight and I don't think I'm coming home." Now for a mother, let alone for a dad, that just, I'm sorry, I started bawling like a baby. But my wife called a lot of you women. A lot of you women are still here. And you all started praying. And I got on the internet and I just put a thing out. The first person that gets any word from David, please contact us. We left it at that and we kept praying. 2 o'clock in the morning, a couple days later, I got a phone call. It was from one of the girls that worked in my department when I was working at Tops. She goes, "Keith, I just got an email from David." So we kind of like put two and two together and it came around. Just around the same time, most of you women were praying for David's safety. Accident? Coincidence? No. Totally believe God was with him. But that doesn't mean you stop praying for them. You know, lots of times we pray for people that are in harm's way, or for people that have life situations going on in their hearts and lives, and it's a good time to pray. But what about praying before they even get there? You know, like Pastor Cole said the other night, if we were just to make a list, just even our own Sunday school class, you know, we could all write on a piece of paper unspoken. We don't have to know what's going on. The Lord does. He knows what's going on. Show that you care for somebody else. Show the way for others. There may be a Christian in this room that's about ready to quit. They may have put a fleece out and saying, Lord, if this doesn't happen and I don't see this happen in the next 2 or 3 weeks, I'm done. It's too hard to serve you. I can't serve you. Satan keeps coming in my face. Yeah, they're making excuses. Yes, I know that. But have you been there? I have. Years ago, I have. And I'm not a quitter. I don't quit at anything. Except for I did quit at cooking because I just can't cook. But there will be obstacles. There will be obstacles. When you decide to follow the Lord, here comes number one's obstacle. You. I just made an emotional decision. The Lord doesn't believe in emotional decisions. You make the decision, you do it. But what? The Lord will help you. Don't get the cart in front of the horse, so to speak. Let the Lord lead you. Let the Lord guide you. Do what you can do, but still don't forget about that special need, whatever it was. I know, and I'm not going to say it because Mrs. Broughton's here, but there wasn't a day that she didn't pray for Michael. I remember the day that we went to the house to see Michael, and then we went to the hospital to see Michael, and I walked down the hallway of all these babies, all these children that were here, no fault of their own. A mom that got involved with drugs before the baby was born. And then I got in my car that night to leave when we left, and I'm saying, you got four of the healthiest rugrats in all the world. But there's times when Mrs. Carol Broughton looks more happy in serving the Lord than you do, Keith. Why is that? Why is that? It's the same God. See, we do have circumstances, but, and there will be obstacles in our lives, but many will become discouraged, but you're there for a reason. You know, we could go through some stories. Remember Cain? God refused Cain's offering, and he gave Cain the opportunity to make it right. But what did Cain do? In his pride, he chose to stay on his own path. And soon after that, he murdered his righteous brother and spent the rest of his life in exile. Think of Joseph, who was abandoned by his brothers. Never once. But as for you, what did Joseph end up saying to his brothers? But as for you, you thought it evil against me. We'll get rid of this guy. We'll shut his mouth once and for good. He'll never say anything about us again. He'll never talk about dreams. But God meant it for good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. David's brothers just wanted to get rid of him, shut him up. And God says, no, I got a better plan. You're going to help many, many people. What about Mary and Martha? They were devastated at the death of their brother Lazarus. You know, Jesus could have healed Lazarus before he died. We all know the stories, right? Jesus chose rather to raise the dead than heal the sick. And as a result, many believed on him. What about the Apostle Paul? He suffered his life with a thorn in his flesh. Some physical affliction, which he prayed for in vain, it came so they would think, for God to remove it. God showed Paul that the purpose of this affliction was to teach him not to glory in himself or depend on himself and to show him that God's grace was all he needed. Oh, Lord, I can't do this if I can't be healed from this. Who said so? Did God say so? God's calling is never wrong. He doesn't make any mistakes. Not a one. The most vilest sinner in Western New York, God could save tonight, and he did not make a mistake. He didn't make a mistake. So don't look at the people that you come into contact with and kind of like judge them. You know, we all do that. We all get our pen and pad out. Doesn't comb his hair right. Doesn't have good shoes on. Kind of smells a little bit. You didn't have good shoes. You weren't walking in the right direction. You stunk too because of the stink of sin in your life. God never turned his back on you. Never. And he never will. There are resources. I don't know where we are in the sheet. I've got myself all over the place here. But there are obstacles, and then there's resources. People will say, I've got too many bad things around. We'll start looking at the good things. The resources. You know why you don't see the resources sometimes? Because you don't get your head out of your own self wallowing in pity. And this is what the Lord wants to do. Well, does that mean, Mr. Nelligan, if I all of a sudden do what the Lord wants me to do, he's going to change everything miraculously overnight? No. Doesn't mean that. You could be like the person that says, okay, I'll give God 3 weeks to change a life I totally destroyed in 50 years. Do the math, folks. That just doesn't work. But we think God is good, and he is. God is great. Amen, he is. He saved you. That shows goodness and greatness all one time. He picked you up out of the miry clay, set you upon a rock, who is his son, the Lord Jesus. What do we do with that? What do we do with that? There are resources. You can be a resource. Get in the scripture. Stay in the scripture. God has a plan. David then gave this plan to do the to his son. David gave the plan to do the temple to his son Solomon. He had a plan. The precious metals David gave to his son. See, as a Christian, we have the plan. We have the precious metal. You are the person. God didn't just save you so you could sit in a blue chair on a Sunday morning, listen to the word, and then get off your blue chair and go home and, oh well. God will bring somebody's name to your mind between now and 12 o'clock today. He will. What are you going to do with it? Unsaved husband, maybe? Wayward children, maybe? Maybe you've made some mistakes and nobody else knows it humanly but you? Why do you think David Jacoby, out of all these people that I've never met before in my life, would ask me? He met me for the first time. I don't know what David has told him. Mr. Nelligan, how's your walk with the Lord today? What were your devotions about this morning, Mr. Nelligan? What if I didn't do any devotions? You know, there's certain things that I bet you, I'm not going to be a betting man here, kind of fib about, you know, a fib's like a white lie, they don't exist, but we feel better when we can say them. Do you pray every day? Do you talk to God? Do you let God talk to you? I had a gentleman. It's just miraculous. My wife finally bought a dishwasher and a dryer. The gentleman shows up the other day to work on it. Pastor Seth, I think it was Thursday after we had gotten done. And he walks in the house. He goes, young man, not young man. He goes, I know that name, Nelligan. Are you a Christian? I never met this guy before. Come to find out, his father was out in the truck. I met his father years ago. They go to Center Road. The son that came to the house doesn't like church. And he didn't even use the word hypocrite like they usually do. But he says, I'm King James, blood washed. There's no such thing as all these other. This is the guy who doesn't go to church. Well, how'd he hear about me? Went out to the truck and met his dad. You know when you see somebody that you haven't seen in a while, you look at him and you go, I know you. We were doing the same thing to each other. And then somebody told me they go to Center Road. And we talked about Barney Lee a little bit, and we talked about some of the other people that we both know from there. Isn't that ironic that the Lord put these people, these are the guys, and this is not who she bought the machine from. These are the guys that do the work on his machine. How ironic is that? And I got a chance to talk for the amount of time that he was working on that machine that don't be afraid to go to church. I went into Hebrews with him a little bit. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And he never brought up the word hypocrite. He didn't go and say, well, I don't like going to church because there's hypocrites in the church. And I was all set and ready for that one. You know, man, we're all hypocrites. Well, why does the Lord do that? And I know he does it to other people. I know he does it to all you in here. Maybe a lot of you in here are, I don't want to say afraid, but if you think about it, if you don't mention these things that happen in your life so that other Christians can be encouraged in their lives, that, oh, I've been serving the Lord now for 50, 60 years, and I've never had an incident like that happen in my life. Have you let it? I mean, don't get me wrong. There are sometimes, after Sunday mornings or whatever, you know, because of different situations, we kind of like seem to make a beeline out of here. But if you spend the time to talk to people, a lot of you are afraid because the longer you talk with somebody and they see the realness in your life, they're going to want to tell you what's really going on. You're really going to have to show the way to others. Next week we will finish this great lesson that I know Brother Mike and I got a lot out of it. Hopefully you folks did. But, yes, Carol? Okay. Number one was David saw the goal. David secured the path. I'm sorry. Let me give you number three after that. Or is there number three? No.
Letter A.
There were obstacles. Letter B, there were resources. And lastly, David supported the man. That was number three. Number A, he showed his support by praying for him. By showing his support by preparing himself to serve the Lord. Now, Pastor Chris was right. These lessons are extremely long, and Brother Mike would tell you. But when somebody tells you, oh, just hit the highlights, you can't. Let's pray. It'll be time for church to start soon. Father in heaven, I want to thank you. Oh, Father, I want to thank you for your word. And I just pray today, Father Lord, even though I might have seemed to rant a little bit, I pray that people would have these type of situations come up in their lives. Where a man or a woman will come up to them and ask them, how's their walk been with the Lord? Or we ourselves will go up to a fellow Christian, instead of saying, how you doing today? Maybe say, hey, by the way, how's your walk with the Lord been? Father, help us to care for others. Help us, Father Lord, to show the way to you for others. Father, we're just going to ask and pray that others will come to know you as Lord and Savior in this next hour that we are together. Holy Spirit, please lead, guide, and direct. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. Thank you for being so attentive to a rambling old guy. Next week we finish.